This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
We have emails from the FBI official that are raising a whole lot of questions. Judicial Watch reporting shows that Strzok was requesting to keep his security clearance and other special powers before he joined the Mueller investigation. Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton joins me right now with more details on these emails. All right, Tom, walk us through what you've seen.
Well, we sued for documents about his appointment and removal from the Mueller operation. Remember, he was removed after these text messages were discovered by the IG showing anti-Trump, pro-Clinton bias. And one of the emails he wrote to his bosses that he wanted to keep the authorities he had as a top official within the counterintelligence division while he was in the Mueller while he was at the Mueller team, and that included the ability to issue national security letters, which are letters that administratively can be issued to get information without court approval. But most disturbingly, the ability to declassify information. And what's disturbing about it is that he drew attention to it. He said, "This is problematic, but I need it." So, of course, he was granted it by his boss, Bill Priestep, almost immediately. And Mr. Strzok is someone who is a corrupt FBI agent, in my view. He can't be trusted, so you got to wonder why it is he was so desperate to have this ability to classify information classified investigation.
Let me backtrack for a moment. He admitted it was problematic. Walk us through why it was such an issue.
Well, that's the question I have. Why was it such an issue for him to retain declassification authority? Look, he needed special dispensation to get it. He recognized it was a problem. And I would presume, and I'm just speculating here, is that he recognized that when you have declassification authority, it means more information about the investigation can be shared within the DOJ, FBI, and perhaps others. And remember, at the same time, he was still palling around, to put it charitably, with Lisa Page, reportedly. And this is why Mr. Mueller needs to be subject to the same scrutiny other government officials are. What was Strzok doing for the Mueller team, this corrupted FBI agent who had it in for Donald Trump? It's fair to ask, especially in light of emails like this.
All right. Dare I ask, what's your worst suspicion?
He wanted to be able to leak information. Look, this is a guy who said he had an insurance policy against Trump being elected. Mm-hmm. He said that he wanted to stop Trump from being elected. Why would we give him the benefit of the doubt as to why he needed this declassification authority or his anti-Trump bosses like Andrew McCabe?
Yeah, well, this is the deep state stuff we're all worried about, and perhaps Putin's getting a real chuckle over, because we've basically lost our sense of trust in our government. So he's hit us at our very core. Tom Fitton, thank you so much.
Of course, Tom's analysis, brilliant, again, and that was my thought exactly. The reason that he wanted to this authority was so that he could leak information as well. I mean, that's what he'd been doing previously, so you want to know what somebody's going to do, look what they've done. Is it any wonder that Donald Trump is taking exception to the special counsel that has been loaded up by Democratic operatives? What do we got, 19 Democratic attorneys? Some who supported Hillary Clinton, some who were advisors to Hillary Clinton. The deck is stacked here. But meanwhile, the progressives, the Democrats, their answer is, Mueller's a Republican. Well, maybe by name only, maybe just because he wants to tell people he is, but is he? If the saying is true that birds of a feather flock together, well then, How come you don't have more Republicans on that special counsel? Why is it loaded up with Democrats? Just a question. That's all I'm asking. It's 5 minutes after the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. William Federer. Yes, Bill Federer coming up next.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
That's how we roll, but it requires that all men, as Lou Giller would say, man their oars. We all got to be involved. This is all hands on deck to get this country back on track. And thank you for joining in 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Another Bill Federer joins us now, nationally known speaker, best-selling author, president of Amerisearch, and creator of the American Minute. William, how you doing, sir?
Hey, Bill. Great to be with you.
Hey, always good to have you here. I want to talk about your article about the constitutional right to bear arms. But before we do that, because there's been so much conversation about, you know, Bernie Sanders, Ocasio-Cortez, you know, is America really serious about going socialistic?
Right. People forget socialism is nothing more than dictatorship. So every socialist country, Hitler was the head of the National Socialist Workers' Party. He was a dictator. Stalin was the head of the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. He was a dictator. And so you can't go by what a country calls itself. It's actually the way it functions is one person is in charge. So socialism is the road to communism. Lenin even said the goal of socialism is communism. So that's sort of that ethereal, mystical goal of all socialist countries is to reach communism. Because once, you know, there's a class of society, everything will be perfect. What they're leaving out is the human nature is selfish. And people want power. St. Augustine calls it libido dominandi, the lust to dominate.
Right.
So you put some kids in a playpen, one takes the rattle from the others. You put some kids on a playground, one's the bully hogging the ball. Unfortunately, it's in each of our own DNA. If we got to be the king, you would tend to favor your family members and those you don't know. So socialism and communism is just dictatorship.
And some of those dynamics exist today, Bill, even under the democracy in which, you know, which we live in. I mean, you know, as you and I have talked many times, it's good to be king. And if you're not king, it's good to be close to the king and friends of the king. And this is the way even, I mean, so there's some natural influence that comes into play because of the nature of man. And so, you know, we want to be close to people who are in power on the Beltway.
And it's interesting, Plato, 380 BC, he wrote in his book, Republic, how democracies would be taken over by dictators. He said the first city governments would be run by people who were capable. He called them lovers of honor and truth. And they sort of like work their job and then go to school board. And they're real responsible people. The second group wants to be involved in politics. they don't have any experience running anything. They just like to be in front of people. And so they're busybodies, or maybe they're a Greek actor from the theater, or maybe they're a Navy courageous admiral that everybody knows their name, but they have no experience actually running anything and balancing the bottom line. And so maybe like a Hollywood actor that gets elected governor of California. you think, what did the Arnold run before he became the governor of the state with this huge economy? Nothing, not even a village. He was just popular. And so Plato says these people that love fame hate being defamed, so you can manipulate them by public opinion. Mm-hmm. They'll bend as the wind blows. And so they end up yielding to a third category where they use their position to benefit themselves. Mm-hmm. And so they funnel a little money to their friends, their supporters, their retirements. We see this where congressmen will go in on a shoestring and retire 40 years later with multimillionaires. And you think, okay, how did they do that?
Exactly. Yeah, on a what, $180,000 a year salary, roughly? Or less than that, I think, but close.
It turns into this insider clique where if you know the people that are connected on the inside, you get the favors and the contracts, and if you don't, you got to pay the burden. And so Plato said that what happens is there's a division in society with a small group of insiders that are giving themselves all the favors, and then the large group of people that have to bear the burden. So we go from lovers of principle and truth, lovers of fame and honor, to lovers of money. Mm-hmm. That's the third category, lovers of money. And so what happens is, Plato says eventually the people will get upset, they'll throw the bums out, and at first it's this temporary period where everything's great. He says that a democracy is the most charming form of government. It's like a bazaar where you can buy any viewpoint. It's like an embroidery patchwork with lots of colors. And the chief characteristic of a democracy is tolerance. Everybody learns how to tolerate all the different views. It's great. Then they tolerate people that are a little bit off. Then they tolerate people that are a lot off. So finally, they're tolerating crooks and crimes and fraud. And then it gets into their immorality. And it says the young man is disrespectful to his father. And if he gets corrected, he just shakes his head. And then Plato says the young man gives into libertinism and useless and unnecessary pleasures, even incest and unnatural union. Right?
Yes.
Like LGBT, pedophilia.
Right.
And so it turns into abandonment of self-restraint. They see the city money sitting in the treasury. They vote to spread the wealth around.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's no restraint. And then they run out of money, and then they vote to take the money from the rich people. Now there's no rich left. And then there's a shortage. They begin to bicker amongst themselves. And then they say, well, don't cut back on what I'm used to getting. Well, don't cut back on my free money and my welfare and my Social Security and my retirement. And it turns into chaos. And then Plato says everybody looks for someone to come along and fix this mess.
Mm-hmm.
And Plato says somebody comes along, he smiles, everybody trusts him, they yield their rights, their freedoms. He gives great speeches, very eloquent, and he gradually begins to consolidate power into the hands of a king. And they cast it in his teeth, saying, you're getting too powerful. He has the choice of giving up the power, which he's not inclined to do because Plato called him a lover of power, or get rid of the people confronting him. But Plato says he purges his military and administration of anybody that has morality and virtue. All he wants is yes men.
Mm-hmm.
And who does he get to replace his former friends? He frees the criminals, the crooks, the illegal aliens, and he arms them, and they become his mob that he sends around the country and stirs up to riot and destroy anybody that disagrees with him politically. He uses the power of the state to audit and drag away his opponents, and finally he stands in the chariot of state holding the reins of power, and he's revealed as the tyrant.
Mm.
Now, I feel like we were on this path, and we were close, weren't we? Last election.
Yes.
But that's the path that we see happening in Venezuela. Mm. Right? You got Hugo Chavez saying, okay, we're going to take all the money from the rich people. And then people say, wait, Hugo, you're getting too powerful. And he says, okay, I'm going to shut down every TV and radio station that is calling me on this. I'm going to become a dictator.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What happens is there's a shortage, and the people end up surrendering more of their freedom to him because he promises to fix it. And Plato says, finally, this person who originally appears as a protector stands in the chariot of state holding the reins of power, and he's revealed as the tyrant.
Yeah.
And so democracy without morality and virtue and self-restraint turns into this abandonment of self-control, and it turns into chaos, and then you have agitators stirring up the chaos, helping it along, and then people quickly surrender all their freedoms to someone that promises to fix it. But the problem is they can only take the money out of the treasury so long till the treasury is empty. Yeah. And then they end up, you have the Venezuela crisis.
Yeah, unrestrained. It just goes through its natural course of events, does it not?
Yeah, unfortunately it does, because it's human nature.
Well, we got to go to break. We'll be right back. More from Bill Federer right after this. Just about 15 minutes after the top of the hour, this is Bill Martinez. We are live.
If you like alkaline water, or know someone that does, you're going to love the Dillon Living Water Bottle. It creates alkaline water on the go, while reducing plastic waste and saving you money. Made with surgical-grade stainless steel, the Dillon Bottle increases the pH up to 9 to deliver both alkaline and antioxidant water anywhere you want it. Alkaline water is healthier, tastes better, and can even boost energy. The Dillon Bottle makes it easy and affordable to be healthy and achieve optimal hydration. Get your Dillon Bottle today at BYLN.co. That's BYLN.co.
With uncertain times in the United States, it's only prudent to consider storing precious metals in a safe place outside our borders. At Miles Franklin, we have done just that for you. Partnered with the most respected storage company in the industry, Miles Franklin is proud to offer the only fully insured private safe deposit box program in North America, held in Vancouver and Toronto. Send us your previously purchased precious metals or have one of our brokers help you purchase something new. Questions? Please call one of our experienced brokers at 866-485-4346. Solid Foundational Storage, partnered with the most respected name in security, maintaining an A+ Better Business Bureau rating, and residing in Minnesota, the only state in America that regulates the precious metals industry, making doing business in precious metals with Miles Franklin the safest choice. Call us at 866-485-4346. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Miles Franklin Limited, a name you can trust.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Healthcare reform is confusing. With the loss of the Obamacare mandate, those needing help can now choose an affordable alternative. By joining Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community of health-conscious Americans all over the country who control their own healthcare costs and choices. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of their medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Message and data rates may apply.
Remembering when to change your fridge filter is a hassle. Remembering the right filter is almost impossible. So at Filters Fast, we have some good advice. Forget it. Instead, remember this. Text BEST 55 to 443-443 and check fridge filters off your to-do list forever. Get it all taken care of for a fraction of big box store prices with a Filters Fast brand filter. To see how much you can save, plus get free shipping, text BEST 55 to 443-443. With a huge range of brand name filters available, Filters Fast is America's number one online filtration company. And you can get a Filters Fast brand filter for a fraction of the price, delivered to your door every time you need it. No need to remember. It's not a matter of if you need a fridge filter. Why not text to get it taken care of? To see how much you can save and get free shipping, text BEST 55 to 443-443. That's BEST 55 to 443-443.
Angie's List has collected millions of verified reviews of local home service providers, and now they're free for everyone to read. Angie's List makes it easy for you to find top quality service providers in your area for any type of home project. Search for a great pro in your area, or let Angie's List instantly match you to a few who can do the job. To get the most reviews from real customers, all for free, go to AngiesList.com today.
Let's go find a phone.
minutes after the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. Got this from one of our listeners. It's from a lefty's perspective, and it bears to point what Bill Federer was sharing with us earlier. It says, like many citizens, I've wondered and tried so hard to understand why Trump has such a remarkable following. It's obvious why. He probably should not, he says. Then a friend sent me this raccoon story. It makes no difference about your political leanings. It's just a good explanation of why. Or it's as good as any I can come up with. If you really want to know how the majority of people feel, and this applies to both Democrats and Republicans, read below. It says it all. You've been on vacation for 2 weeks. You come home and your basement is infested with raccoons. Hundreds of rabid, messy, mean raccoons have overtaken your basement. You want them gone immediately. You call the city. 4 different exterminators, but nobody can handle the job. But there is this one guy, and he guarantees you to get rid of them, so you hire him. You don't care if the guy smells. You don't care if the guy swears. You don't care if he's an alcoholic. You don't care how many times he's been married. You don't care if he voted for Obama. You don't care if he has a plumber's crack. You simply want those raccoons gone, right? You want your problem fixed. He's the guy. He's the best, period. Here's why we want Trump. Yes, he's a bit of an ass, as they say. Yes, he's an egomaniac, but we don't care. The country is a mess because politicians suck. The Republicans and Democrats can be two-faced and gutless, and illegals are everywhere. We want it all fixed. We don't care that Trump is crude. We don't care that he insults people. We don't care that he once was friendly with Hillary. We don't care that he has changed positions. We don't care that he's been married 3 times. We don't care that he fights with Megyn Kelly and Rosie O'Donnell. We don't care that he doesn't know the name of some Muslim terrorist. This country is weak, bankrupt. Our enemies are making fun of us. We are being invaded by illegals. We're becoming a nation of victims with every Tom, Ricardo, and Hasid is a special group with special rights to a point where we don't even recognize the country we were born and raised in. And we just want it fixed. And Trump is the only guy who seems to understand what the people want. We're sick of politicians, sick of the Democratic Party, Republican Party, and sick of illegals. We just want this thing fixed. Trump may not be a saint, but he doesn't have lobbyist money holding him. He doesn't have political correctness restraining him. All you know is that he has been very successful, a good negotiator. He has built a lot of things, and he's also not a politician. He's not a cowardly politician, and he says he'll fix it. And we believe him because he's too much of an egoist to be proven wrong or looked at and called a liar. Also, we don't care if the guys have bad hair. We just want those raccoons gone out of our house now. This is why thousands of people who haven't voted in 25 years are getting involved. Socialism will never work if capitalism is the unequal distribution of wealth. Socialism is the equal distribution of poverty. Bill Federer, I thought that lined up with what you were sharing with us earlier in terms of, you know, the cycle of nations and leadership.
Right. I use the example of if your toilet's overflowing and you call a plumber, you don't stop them on the front lawn and say, have you viewed pornography recently? It's like, no, get in there and stop this thing.
That's
so,
right.
But Trump is doing what we hired him to do. But I do think that we were saved. There's a reprieve. The agenda that the other side was working was, when you study Marxism and Hegelianism, and it's this idea that you create or capitalize on crises to consolidate control. Mm-hmm. And so there's this wanting to, stir up. Who is it? Solinsky says that the community organizer's job is to rub raw the resentments of the people of the community, fan the flames of hostility to the point of overt expression. The community organizer must seek out controversy rather than avoid it, unless there is controversy that people are not motivated enough to act. So the Alinsky model, and you have to remember, Hillary Clinton did her senior thesis at Wellesley College on Saul Alinsky.
Right.
And President Obama was a community organizer with the Saul Alinsky Group in Chicago. And so the politics that we've experienced in the last decade is the intentional creating or capitalizing on crises so that there will be a concentration of control in the hands of fewer and fewer people, ultimately in a dictator.
Yeah.
And then that's not just nationally, but it's globally. And so there's the idea that you want to release a whole lot of Syrian refugees into countries to destabilize them and create crises. And so that all the countries will say, well, we need some globalist power to come in and restore order. And then that's their goal. The George Soros and the David Rockefellers, and they've written on it for years.
meddling reigns. It's been around forever, and it continues. It's not just exclusive to the Russians. Hey, Bill, we've got about 5 minutes left, and I want to at least address your column about the constitutional right to bear arms and what our founding fathers intended for us.
Right. Even the Roman historian Livy, L-I-V-Y, said all citizens capable of bearing arms are required to provide their own swords and spears and other armor. So the Romans, every citizen was involved. This goes even back to ancient Israel. Mm-hmm. They were the first nation without a king, and every citizen was armed. When the British took over India, what did they do? They disarmed the people in India, and even Mahatma Gandhi wrote in his autobiography, among the many misdeeds the British rule did in India, history will look upon the act depriving a whole nation of arms as the blackest. And so the idea is that dictators want an unarmed populace. You know, then you know, Europe, you have the king and the king's forest and the king's hunters and the common people didn't own weapons. And so in America, the founding fathers decided that, no, every citizen needed to be armed. And this is really seen in the ratifying conventions of the states. What do I mean? Well, we have the Second Amendment, and the left tries to tell us what it means or what it doesn't mean. But if you read the states, again, the states are the ones who ratified the Constitution. Mm-hmm. For example, New Hampshire. It was the ninth state to ratify the Constitution. And it's the one that actually put the Constitution into effect. So it needed nine states to do that. And so New Hampshire ratifies it, and then they send to the Congress their ratifying stuff. But then there's a list of things. And one of the things that says Congress shall never disarm any citizen.
Mm, yes.
You look at the constitutions of Rhode Island and Vermont, and they say the same thing. Here's the Rhode Island Constitution. It says that the people have a right to keep and bear arms. Makes it really clear. Vermont Constitution, 1786, that the people have a right to bear arms for the defense of themselves and the state. You know, James Monroe, the fifth president, he lists all the different freedoms in America. Habeas corpus, he says, but of the right to keep and bear arms. And so this idea is that the reason that people have arms is to prevent the government from becoming tyrannical and eventually having a dictator. So it's not to shoot squirrels, it's to keep the government in check. Who do you trust more, the people or the government? Mm-hmm. And the you know, you read the Texas Declaration of Independence. It says Santa Anna, who overthrew the federal constitution of Mexico and made himself a dictator, demanded that they give up their arms. He says the rightful property of free men and a threat only to tyrannical governments. So this is a key point. It is interesting how every one of the shootings that takes place, immediately we have this call to disarm the people. You have to understand, criminals will always have guns because criminals do not honor laws. And so if you can pass all the laws...
Just hate those criminals for not honoring laws, you know?
And so even Hubert Humphrey, he was the vice president under Lyndon Johnson. But he says the right of citizens to bear arms is just one more guarantee against arbitrary government, one more safeguard against the tyranny, which now appears remote in America, but which historically has proved to always be possible. So this was the Democrat vice president saying this, that the citizens' right to bear arms is a guarantee against arbitrary government.
Exactly. Bill, we got to leave it right there. To be continued. Always welcome here on Bill Martinez Live. Bill Federer on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Bill.
Here's important new information from the Diabetes Solution Center for you, a family member, or a loved one suffering with diabetes. If you have lost your provider, or if you need a provider for diabetic supplies, you may qualify to receive your diabetic testing supplies now with little or no out-of-pocket cost, regardless of your age. All you need is Medicare or private insurance to be potentially eligible. Call the Diabetes Solution Center right now for details. Just takes a couple of minutes. Our friendly, knowledgeable agents will give you free, no-obligation information, handle all the insurance paperwork, and make sure your supplies are delivered directly to your door for free.
Call U.S. Medical Supply 24 hours a day. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. 800-597-9323. Call right now. 800-597-9323.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Evacuations being ordered near a Virginia dam that's in danger of failing. Officials warning people downstream from the College Lake Dam in Lynchburg to get to higher ground.
This is a stage three, is what it's called, and that is that the dam failure is imminent. So they are extremely concerned in monitoring this.
That is heard on WFXR-TV in nearby Roanoke. If the dam was to break, officials say Lynchburg could be under 17 feet of water in a matter of just a few minutes. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo accusing North Korea's Kim Jong-un of breaking promises he made to President Trump at their summit. After reports the North is still developing missiles and missile fuel, Pompeo says Kim had agreed to denuclearize, but the North is now acting, in his words, inconsistent with agreements made at the summit. And this is USA Radio News.
Your car's engine deals with pressures that can cause intense friction that can
waste up to 10% of engine performance.
Power up with Castrol Edge with fluid titanium technology. It's three times stronger than leading oils against viscosity breakdown. Buy five quarts of Castrol Edge and a Purolator Boss filter for $32.99 at Advance or participating CarQuest auto parts stores. Three times stronger based on Kurt Orbach test. 5W30 Visgrade.
When working at a growing business, you wear many hats. The new business hat, the buying toner for the copy machine hat, the sifting through tons of resumes hat. You can throw away that last hat thanks to Indeed.com. When posting your job, Indeed lets you add screener questions that give you a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates. So go ahead, dust off that extra long lunch hat. Hiring's better when you've got your short list. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
Send your emails direct, NSA free, to bill@billmartinezlive.com.
Lord, I will run to you. You are my heart's defense. You are my
running to the Lord, sometimes we may have to run to the mountaintop, and what do you do there? Is your eyes, are your eyes fixed on the Lord to such a point that the mountaintop somehow becomes flat, and it's almost like you're running downhill, but you're yet going up because you're going to the Father? You know, it's interesting when you consider what happens at the mountaintops as you read your Bible in the Old Testament and New Testament. It's rather significant what happens at the top of the mountain. You think of Moses, you think of, what happened there at the mountaintop, Jesus at the mountaintop on Calvary. Incredible experiences. Well, our next guest is a teaching pastor at Prestonwood Baptist Church in Plano, Texas. Jared Stevens joins us now. And his debut book is titled, The Mountains Are Calling, Making the Climb for a Clearer View of God and Ourselves. Jared, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, Pastor?
I'm doing well, Bill. Thanks so much for having me on your show today.
Hey, this is, I know, a bit metaphorical for some, but when you think about it, God used parables, he used metaphors, but there was also some real experiences that happened at the mountaintop.
Absolutely. And, you know, when I started this study, Bill, I was blown away by it. It started about 5 years ago. I was flying into the mountains of Colorado to preach at a camp for our church. And, for us preachers, sometimes we bring some rehashed sermons, and just reheat them and change the illustrations to make them go well that week. But God just wouldn't let me off the hook that week. And just speaking to my heart on the plane there. He said, bring something fresh. And I'm thinking, man, that's great, but I'm about to land here in about 20 minutes. And I just started praying. And, you know, for me, I grew up in church, Bill. And so camp was always a mountaintop experience for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started thinking about that. And it's just like the Lord led me to say, man, why don't you look at what happened in the Bible on mountaintops? And so when I started studying that, I was just blown away by it. You got, and I cover 10 of these mountaintop experiences in my book, but from Abraham carrying Isaac up Mount Moriah to sacrifice him, to Moses at Sinai, to Elijah in the Battle of God at Mount Carmel. And then you go into the New Testament, Jesus would break away oftentimes to a desolate mountain, the Bible says, and pray. His first sermon was not in a synagogue or a temple, but it was on a mountain side in Galilee. And then, of course, you have his transfiguration, his crucifixion, his ascension, his promised return. All these things happen from a mountain. And so it just opened my eyes to something that I had never really noticed before.
What was it that you drew out of your study to realize how significant? I mean, because we often talk in this show, you know, Jared, about, you know, mountaintop experiences and peaks and valleys, that, you know, it's the valley where we're refined, it seems, so often when, you know, our faith is really stretched, going through that valley of the shadow of death. But just as significant is the mountaintop where, you know, comes clarity, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this was made fresh to me. We oftentimes take our family. We just got back a couple weeks ago from Colorado, and we'll take a ski gondola up the mountain. And we were coming back down one day, and I've got four little girls. So I really need your audience that's listening to pray for me. So four little girls. And so they like to point out where we're staying, you know, when they're coming down the gondola. And they say, oh, there's our house over there, and this is where we go get ice cream. And that's where the whole perspective shift really came alive for me is, you know, when you're on the mountain, the things of this world seem a little bit smaller. And God seems a little bit bigger. And that's where that whole perspective shift came for me. And you mentioned the valleys of life where we really are close to the Lord and learn from the Lord. And I'm telling you, Bill, I wasn't expecting to write about this. This was a chapter as I was writing the book that I didn't have in my heart. I didn't have planned. And I bet 9 out of 10 of the people listening to us right now, they would say the closest time they were ever with the Lord was in a valley. It was in a low time. But, you know, when we look at the life of Jesus, isn't it interesting that the time in his life that was probably the lowest, it was probably the darkest, was the Garden of Gethsemane, where he's about to be crushed like an olive
branch. Olive, right there.
And when you go to Israel, and I've been fortunate to go a number of times, the Garden of Gethsemane is located on the Mount of Olives.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we talk about mountaintop moments. I define them as those times where the proximity of God, it's so close. You sense his intimacy and his nearness like never before. Well, you know, when we're in a valley, it doesn't seem like God is very close sometimes. But, you know, the Garden of Gethsemane shows us that as time passes, the Bible says that God is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are contrite in spirit. So even broken times, desert times, can, when we look back on them, can be mountaintop moments.
Exactly. Well, when you think about mountaintops, maybe it's just, you know, a perspective as well. And that part could be metaphorical, that even though you're in a desert, you have a mountaintop experience because suddenly there's clarity and you're close
to
God. And when we're close to God, it's like Isaiah, we get our marching orders. Or like Paul, we get our marching orders to get us through that next level. Because the good news is, and I've never known anything like this, Jared, is that being in the valley, it's not like you're always there. That you do come out of the valley eventually.
That's right. And you don't stay on the mountaintop either. So you've got to come down. You know, Jesus, one of the mountains I cover in the book, is the Great Commission. And there's a passage in the Bible I'd never seen before, Bill, but it says he sent his disciples to an unnamed mountain in Galilee, and that's where he gave them the Great Commission.
Mm.
And so the point being is, hey, here's your mission to go out and make disciples, baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But you got to get off the mountaintop to do it. And so you come out of the valley and live life after your perspective has been changed. You come off the mountaintop and live life after your perspective has been changed. And that's what allows you to live on mission for Christ every day.
I hope our audience picked up on what you just said. Because I know that you've read the Bible many times, as I have. I cycle through it every year. And sure. It is amazing when you hit those moments, you go, I've read this hundreds of times, and this is like fresh. You know, you talk about daily bread, you know, that God gives us our daily bread. It's fresh. And for that moment in time, it's like all of a sudden he pulls back the scales so that we can capture something there. I mean, this is what, to me, continues to astound me about the Word of God.
Isn't it amazing? I mean, every single day, that daily bread. You know, God gave me a verse just yesterday, or the day before, rather, just in my own time alone with the Lord. And it's a passage in Psalms. I've read the Psalms, you know, in my daily reading two or three times a year. I'll go through the Psalm. And just what you're saying, it just came off the page and into my heart. I'm thinking, man, I've never seen this before. But that's just how the Lord moves, how he works. I love it.
What was the Psalm? Share it with us.
Well, it was Psalm 68:4, and it's actually going to be the sequel to this book that I've written. I wasn't looking for it. But it says, sing
so
to the
breaking
Lord.
News here, ladies and gentlemen, right now from Jared Stevens. Here it is. Okay.
That's it. I'm breaking. But it says, sing to the Lord, exalt in his name. And then it says this, Bill. It says, sing to the Lord who rides through the desert. And man, that phrase, ride through the desert, I couldn't let it go. That we have a God in heaven who is searching after us. And there's probably somebody listening to us right now who is in a desert. And desert represents loneliness. It represents thirst. It represents just this idea of just needing rest. And I think, how awesome is it that we have a God that rides through the desert? And so just like you look through the Scripture and see a ton of mountaintops, moments in the Scripture, we could go through the Scripture and see a ton of desert experiences where God comes through. And I just love that idea of God being a desert rider. And so that's the next project I'm working on right now.
Well, you touched on something I just wrote a commentary about here, Jared, regarding loneliness. Here we are, you know, with all the billions of people that are on our planet just here, even around here inside this country domestically. And that is a key issue, a growing problem that we have today in this information age. Quite ironic that people find themselves to be quite lonely. And, you know, but God says, look, draw to me and I'll draw unto you. We've got more from Jared Stevens after this. Stay with us, America.
Your car's engine deals with pressures that can cause intense friction that can
waste up to 10% of engine performance.
Power up with Castrol Edge with fluid titanium technology. It's three times stronger than leading oils against viscosity breakdown. Buy five quarts of Castrol Edge and a Purolator Boss filter for $32.99 at Advance or participating CarQuest auto parts stores. Three times stronger based on Kurt Orban test. 5W30 is great.
If you are age 85 or younger, call to learn more about final expense plans from a licensed agent in the Angel Care Network. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. Are you at risk of leaving loved ones to help pay your debts? A final expense policy for seniors can pay up to $30,000 for funeral and other final expenses. You don't need a medical exam, and you can have lifetime coverage, and the policy cannot be canceled. To receive free information about final expense plans from a licensed agent and the Angel Care Network, call now. You'll also receive information about a free prescription discount card just for calling in. Agents are standing by.
Call 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. 800-540-8816. Call now. That's 800-540-8816.
When posting on most job sites, you get candidates.
I'm the sales director.
I'm the sales director you're looking for.
But when you post on Indeed.com, you get the candidates just right for you.
I'm a sales director with an MBA, over 10 years experience, who's also fluent in Japanese.
With Indeed, you can add screener questions for a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates.
Arigato.
Hiring's better when you've got your short list. Save time on hiring when you post a job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
You have been lied to, generation after generation, time after time after time.
If you follow the money, then you understand why America's in the condition it's in.
Now, you created the Federal Reserve in 1913 through lies.
You create 9/11. Through 9/11, you're fighting a war on terror. And now all of a sudden you go into Iraq, which was another lie.
This book will open people's eyes. Order now at KillingUncleSamBook.com. KillingUncleSamBook.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What more could you want?
Only for your glory, my hands reach. Only you to hold me, my soul sings. Only you are holy, my feet dance.
Just a reminder, the right, to pursue your happiness are rights that are given to us by God, not by man, right? And it's brilliant that our founding fathers and the Constitution understood that to be the case. Our conversation with Jared Stevens continues. He's a teaching pastor at one of America's largest megachurches. We're talking about mountaintops, and as he says in his book, and we talked about some of the mountains, like Mount Moriah, where God, at these mountaintops, has a way of revealing either his name or his character, something about his personality, right? So in Mount Moriah, Jared explains, God reveals himself as the one who provides. Mount Sinai, the God who is holy. And Mount Carmel, the God who is trustworthy. Mount Desolate, the God who is intimate. Interesting, right? We're just talking about loneliness. Mount Eremos, the God who is father. Mount Hermon, the God who is Jesus. Mount Olivet, the God who is near. Mount Calvary, the God who is love. The mountain with no name, which we just talked about a moment ago. The God who sends. And the last mountain, which is, boy, the mountain of all mountains, and what this is all leading to. And that is the God who is returning. Jared, boy, I'll tell you, what a teaching. And you know, this is so awesome, you know, what God has revealed to you. And this is what I appreciate about the pastors in our country today who go in the throne room and come out of the throne room, which in itself you could say is a mountaintop experience, and you come back with revelation and new marching orders. And this is an awesome book. The Mountains Are Calling, Making the Climb for a Clearer View of God and Ourselves.
Thank you, Bill. It means a lot that you would say that. And you're right. You get in that time alone with the Lord. And, you know, metaphorically speaking, I think every time you open up his word and you spend time alone with him, that's a mountaintop moment. We can say that with confidence because God speaks through his word. He's present in our lives. His Holy Spirit lives in us. And so anytime we seek to spend time alone with him, I mean, to me, when you're spending time with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that's a mountaintop moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, without a doubt. And as we, you know, as you cite in your book and you go through all these mountaintop experiences, it is going to that climactic end, the last mountain, huh?
Yeah. You know, that's the beauty. Jesus, when he ascended, he ascended from the Mount of Olives. And there in Acts chapter 1, the disciples are kind of standing there looking in the air, and two angels appear, and what do they say? What are you looking for? This same Jesus who just left you will return in the same way. And that's when he tells them to go and be witnesses. And the Bible tells us in Zechariah that Jesus is going to return one day, and he's going to step foot right there on the Mount of Olives. And that's where he's going to initiate his millennial reign. And as Christians, we're going to rule and reign with him forever and ever and ever. And it's that motivation to me that keeps us going every single day, where we can pray with integrity in our hearts. Come, Lord Jesus, come establish your rule and reign. I'm ready.
Exactly. Well, it's what gets us through to the next mountaintop. I mean, it almost appears, Jared, in life as we go through it, it's one mountaintop experience after another, if you're faithfully following God, right?
That's it. And I think God, you know, I think just as he gives the writers of Scripture these mountaintop moments, he gives us specific mountaintop moments to keep us going. Bill, today, August the 3rd, 1989, so 29 years ago today, I trusted in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior at a preteen camp at a small town in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. And I like to tell people that was my first mountaintop experience. And I was just thinking on it this morning, the goodness of God to save me as an 11-year-old boy. And throughout my life, as I look back, he's given me these mountaintop moments. Mm-hmm. They don't come every day. And you know, again, as we spend time with the Lord, every time we open the Bible can be a mountaintop moment. But there's these experiences, there's these benchmarks, these anchor moments in our life that he gives us. And I can point to trusting in him at his 11-year-old, or I can point to my call to ministry at 17. I can point to God's call to allow me to serve the great church of Prestonwood alongside our pastor, Dr. Jack Graham. I can think of all these benchmark moments, and it's an anchor for me to always look back to the faithfulness of God. And I was just thinking about it this morning because I'm saying, God, you've been so faithful through these 29 years, and I'm just thankful for that first mountaintop experience with you as a preteen kid.
Yeah, without a doubt. And Jared, this is why I encourage people to journal. You know, take yep. notes, because life Absolutely. Goes by so fast, and you may have forgotten a mountaintop or two that God took you through. And along yeah. with it, what he told you, because as you say, on these mountaintops, there's clarity that happens. There's marching orders. You know, some of us may have, you know, deviated. Maybe we have forgotten. Maybe that's why the Bible and the Old Testament tells us over 250 times to remember, because we're forgetting beings here. And this is the power of journaling, because you can go back and remember, and it re-encourages you and others because of God's faithfulness, because that's the one thing we can always count on, is God is faithful.
Yeah, I'm grateful you bring up that point, Bill, and God's been gracious to me to allow me to journal through the years. And just as a practical application to that, to encourage the audience listening to us today, is, you know, I just put the date of what at the top of my page, the scripture passage that I may be in. I journal out my prayers, but something that really helped me through the years is in the inside folder of that journal, where whichever journal I am, I'm in, I put major dates that are going on if something significant happens. So it almost serves as a table of contents for that journal, because you can almost forget what goes on the day-to-day basis. But if you put those large events, those benchmark events of where you are, what you're doing in the table of contents, you can always refer back to them and say, oh, there it is, and you can kind of find it in your journal. So I agree with you. It's a powerful discipline, a powerful practice to implement.
Jared, as you were writing the book, The Mountains Are Calling, Making the Climb for a Clearer View of God and Ourselves, and I'm sure probably some of these chapters wrote themselves, probably in much the same way I think of when Moses was, you know, on Mount Moriah with God, you know, and God's giving him, you know, the layout of the temple, everything, you know, the law. I mean, just amazing. And I'm thinking, how could you hold to that? But even in the midst of all that, you know, as Moses is communicating with God and getting clarity on his mission and everything, I got to believe there is that moment where you just want to high five God. You just go, wow, this is way cool. I mean, and so for you, as you were going through this, You know, what was that moment for you?
Well, you know, it's amazing because you see a book project come to fruition like this. And there's no way I'm smart enough to come up with this idea. You know, I mean, this is rooted and given by the Spirit of the Lord. And so first, I can't take credit for the idea. God has given it, just like he's given the idea for this new project that I'm working on. But probably, Bill, the chapter that, you know, I just was able to write, really reflect on, and to your point, just kind of unfolded. I'm just thinking, God, you're so good, was the chapter on Mount Carmel. It's chapter 4 in the book, and it's, you know, Elijah going to battle the gods. But that chapter, you know, we love this story of Elijah calling down fire on the mountain. I mean, that's what we remember, and there's nothing better than being in Israel, going to Mount Carmel and teaching this where X marks the spot. And we love Elijah calling down the fire. But the wonderful thing about this story is before Elijah makes his journey up to Mount Carmel, he has to go through Cherith, a place called Cherith, and a place called Zarephath. And as I was studying that, Bill, Cherith, that word means to be cut down. And Zarephath, that's a word that in the Hebrew means to smelt or to melt.
Mm.
And isn't it interesting? We love the mountaintop moment. But Elijah didn't have his mountaintop moment until he was first cut down and put through the fire.
Right.
And that's how it is in our lives. And for me, I share a pretty vulnerable moment in my life. I was sexually abused between the ages of 8 and 12, and it was a secret that I carried with me. I never told anybody until I was 19 years of age. Mm-hmm. And I talk about that being my Cherith and Zarephath, that God used that to cut me down, to mold me, to melt me. You know, that's what the Bible says trials do. They melt it. They purify our faith. And so I just really talk to the reader in that chapter who may be feeling a little like Elijah, cut down, smelted and melted, to just keep going, to keep their eyes on God, because he's getting ready to lead them to a mountain to call the fire down and to just stay faithful. So that was a chapter that was really special to me.
Well, Jared, you know, and that's what happens, you know, in our experience with God, is we can be vulnerable. We can bring it all to him. And he doesn't want us carrying these anchors of shame and these less thans of our humanity. Mm-hmm. The devil wants us to hang on to it because that's a drag to our calling. And
yeah,
for us to realize the full potential and actualization of what God has for us, we've got to go through that refiner's fire. And, you know, for some people today, you know, that might find themselves in that refiner's fire, I'm sure you have a message of encouragement for them as we wrap things up right now.
Absolutely. And I would just point them, you know, really to the chapter sections of my book. You'll find that God is trustworthy on the mountain, that he's intimate, that he's a good father, that he's near, that he's loved. And so, you know, wherever you find yourself today, just know you've got a father who's faithful and he's ready to meet you on the mountain.
He is a teaching pastor at Prestonwood Baptist Church in Plano. The book available at all the usual places. We'll link it on our website, too, at BillMartinezLive.com. Jared Stevens, The Mountains Are Calling, Making the Climb for a Clearer View of God and Ourselves. Look forward to seeing you up there on top of the mountains as we continue on this journey called life. Jared, thank you so much. God bless.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutriMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutriMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations for referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871.
Get the ultimate knife at an old